You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile Technology, this is your reality. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision keeps pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at Fichte.com. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Jay Spencer King, and I have an all-star cast hanging with me real quick. We just wanted to come out real quick and talk about this trade that Brandon Bean has put together at the last minute in the last hours before the trade deadline passed. Buffalo Bills are trading for defensive back from Green Bay Packers, Rasul Douglas. I'm probably saying it wrong. I always mess it up. I apologize for that. He's a member of Bills Mafia now. I got my man Casey riding with me. I got all bro po. And then I got Sarah Larson. We're going to do it real quick, and we're going to have a good time with it. So I just really – let's get first impressions and or feelings or whatever. Let's start with Casey was the first one in the room. Let's start with Casey.
I mean, I think we can all agree that it's probably an upgrade over Elam at this point and definitely an upgrade over, you know, 88-year-old Josh Norman. Bills Mafia was clamoring for any sort of move at this point, and we got it. We finally got it. You know, everybody's back on Bean's side. No one's going to be calling for his job anymore. And I think we got him at a good price.
Absolutely got him at a good price. You can't be mad at that price at all. It's essentially a third and a fifth round swap is what it looks like to me. You know, we're almost getting him to move down in the draft a couple of rounds. So I'm okay with that. We didn't lose a draft pick. We just lost position in that sense.
Right.
Sarah, how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, even if you talk about whether or not, you know, we're switching the picks, you have to think that we would be at the, you know, opposite end of the third round. Anyways, it's going to be one of those late picks that we're giving them. And, you know, right now they're sitting at what, 2 and 5. So they were probably going to be more at the upper, you know, part of the fifth round. So I like the pick swap. It's kind of, in essence, you know, a fourth round, if you, you know, look at it that way. I think that it's not going to be that big splashy name like we all talked about, you know, like Patrick Surtain or somebody like that. But this is a vet that is going to come in and is going to, you know, take over in that sense of where Trey kind of can't be there right now.
Jeremy, how do you feel? What were your first initial reaction to this? I know we had other things that we wanted to kind of happen, and you, Sterling, and I kind of got this group chat where we kind of bounced things off. Nothing that we wanted to happen. How do you feel about this trade?
Never.
It was a good pickup. He's a good player. He fits the scheme. He everything that you kind of want in a corner that you wanted from Kaiir, you have in Rasul. That's proven. I do think it's weird that Kaiir didn't get put into that trade. or he didn't get moved somewhere, because like you got to let the guy go try to spin somewhere. And so if Razul's going to come in and be the guy, do they still want Kyrie to be the guy at some point? Is that why they kept him around, or could they really not get him off somewhere, which is weird. But it'll be interesting to see how the mix goes in with these cornerbacks going forward.
You got to feel as if that the Buffalo Bills kind of feel like they don't want to over maybe that's not the right word to use. You kind of feel like they don't want to jump off the bridge too soon and do it, the same thing they did with Wyatt Teller. So I feel like at this point it's more so about a fear now of repeating previous mistakes, as opposed to it actually being the best decision for the team and for the player. I agree with you. I think at some point, if you're not going to play him and you're not going to utilize him, you're going to have to move on from Kyrie Elam and let him see if he can establish himself in this league, you know, and get a good career going. Sarah, I feel like you had something to say there.
I was just going to say, in essence, their pay is about the same. So keeping Elam on and hopefully either getting something more for him at the end of the season, or potentially developing him, it's not carrying much of a cost impact for the Bills. So I think that that's why they probably are not wanting to admit to their very bad decision in picking him in the first round. So I think they're holding on for dear life.
To Spence's point, like with the Wyatt Teller, the question can be begged: if Wyatt Teller stayed here, would he even become as good as he did? So like, if by keeping Kyrie here, you're not allowing him to go grow in the way that he needs to grow and get better, similar to Harrison Phillips. Harrison Phillips was going to be stuck at the number two nose tackle here. Obviously, through injuries, he got a lot of playing time, but then he went to Minnesota, and like he's a guy that you'd want here now to be your one nose tackle, and that's by growing and playing in an area where you're actually going to get to play in. If you're going to sit here and hope that Kyrie becomes what you want him to become while sitting on the bench and on the inactive list, that's not going to happen. Like, I don't know who gets better by sitting on the inactive list. So I don't know what they're trying to get out of that if he's not going to play.
It seems like part of Kyrie's problem to me is thinking too much, kind of what Josh said last week, going into this last game, to where he's like, maybe I just need to stop thinking as much and play football. And it kind of seemed like that's what Elam was doing when he came into the games, to where it seemed like he was like walking on eggshells. He was nervous to make a mistake. And I mean, he didn't let much behind him, but he let everything go in front of him, because it seemed like he didn't want to give up that big play. So, I mean, to about everybody's point, yeah, it's going to be a struggle, you know, but how he can get better, if he can get better, just by sitting on the bench. But we've also seen the hero stories like Geno Smith, to where people, all right, you do sit back, you watch, you truly do learn. And then when you do get your opportunity, you took everything that you learned.
Well, so are we all in it? Because it sounds like, at least from Jeremy and Casey's perspective, that there needs to be improvements made on Elam's part. And it's not necessarily a scheme fit. It's not the way that they're using him. It sounds like you're saying that you think that, okay, he hasn't developed enough, and that's why he's not getting the reps. Is that kind of what the, because even in the comments, you know.
Yeah, I think it's scheme fit. He's a man, you know, player, and we pretty much are, you know, operating out of zone most of the time. I think that he looked okay at the end of last season. And, you know, then McDermott comes in, kind of takes over the defense. And I think he's not picking up on it. But I think that it's also because, you know, he's not picking up on it because he's not used to it. It's just not a fit for him. Will it ever get better then? So, you know, what's the point, you know, to that point, what's the point of keeping him if, you know, it's never going to be able to click for him.
The problem that I have with like the, and they did put out a story, the Bills, that it's been a scheme issue with Kyrie. The problem I have with that is you went out to try to go get a guy that's a man cornerback. And it's like, so if it's not the scheme, it's you don't believe in his ability to cover right now, which he hasn't really shown this year, that to be fair. And if he hasn't shown that, he's got to get in and play to grow and make his mistakes and not have to fear that he's letting the team down if he's a cornerback and make mistakes. That guy said that nobody wants him. That's that Jordan. Nobody, you could say that about Jordan. When Jordan was in Cleveland and he was coming off of that contract, nobody was like looking out. But like, there's people that are going to want young guys that can maybe mold into something.
You could say that about Micah, the guy that we got from Green Bay. Just like today, we got another guy from Green Bay a few years back that technically nobody wanted. And Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott felt like they found a diamond in the rough. So I don't want to keep talking about Elam, though, because he didn't get traded. Today is about the trade deadline. So let's end this up. We got a few more minutes. I wanted to get everybody's opinion and first reaction. We got some good comments here. So as far as this trade for Douglas, though, how do you guys feel like this is a fit for the team? Or do you think that this is a trade that we're going to get dividends on right now? Or what's the plan?
I personally think that it was what needed to be done now. I don't know if he'll be on this team next year with his cap hit, or, you know, whether or not we make that work or not. It's non-guaranteed money. If he makes a splash, then maybe we extend him for a couple years and figure that out. But right now, I just think that it's what is needed to kind of replace Trey. And then on the other side, we're going to have Benford and we'll have Dane. Splitting reps here and there. But I think that pretty much Rasul is going to come in and play, probably 100% of the snaps.
Jeremy?
I think this is going to benefit the rest of the defense. It's going to benefit the safeties. And I can't, because like having a guy that like people are going to be afraid to throw to, he makes plays. The guy Rasul makes plays on the ball. And so like, it's going to benefit CB. He's going to be allowed to be make more plays on the ball. He'll be looked at as a quarterback too sometimes. And just the way people are going to have to attack this team, like picking up Rasul is going to be probably one of the bigger pickups for us this year outside of the park.
I see this comment here. First, Craig, thank you so much for the super chat, man. We appreciate the support. But I don't know if this stat is a little – I don't know if it's accurate. The thing that I saw from PFF is that he ranks 21st out of 129 quarterbacks that had at least 100 snaps played this season. So far this year, he has a 75.2 grade for PFF, which is a better good grade.
It's better than all of our corners.
Right, and that's where I was going to go. It might not be first, but it's first on this team. At this point, it's first on our roster. So, Casey, did you have something before we get on out of here? And then we'll give everybody a chance to run around and plug, and then we'll get on out.
Yeah, I mean, my question is, so what does this mean for Trey? I mean, being able to afford Trey, Rasul, Elam, and Benford. I know Benford and Elam are on their rookie contracts, and especially Benford being the sixth-round pick, he's cheap. But it just makes you wonder what Trey's future is here with the Bills, coming off these back-to-back injuries.
Can you put up Donald's comment? And so Donald put this: selling out the future is giving me Willy nightmares. But what part is, I mean, a swapping a late third and an early fifth to me is selling out the future. I don't understand it, especially considering his contract's less than $1 million this year.
Well, and not even that. To me, when I look at comments like this, and hey, Donald, just so you know, first of all, we appreciate the support. We're not piling on you. Thank you so much. But when I think about selling out the future, I'm thinking about, what the Rams did a couple years back. I don't think that that's what's happening here. The Bills aren't even selling out. Like, a lot of people would have been mad at me today, but if the Buffalo Bills would have traded away a first and a second rounder for Devontae Adams, that's selling your future. But even that, because Devontae Adams is like that. If you're going to trade a first or a second for D-Hop, that's trading your future. I don't think that this is what this is. This is a young cornerback who still has another year on his contract, who now at this point, like Sarah just mentioned, you got Trey White, second year in a row with his injury. Who knows? Casey even brought up, what's the future hold for Trey White? So this might be one of those things where the Bills are looking at this as the future. Like, we're looking at this guy being our replacement for Trey. And next year we need to figure out if we're going to see if Elam works or if we're going to try to find somebody else. All of that is a question. So, Poe, you have something there?
Yeah, because, like, I don't like that mentality of selling out the future. You were trying to win now. And yes, you don't want to leave all your, you don't want to put all your ducks in winning this year, so you keep some of your draft picks, but not making a move, not getting better is what we've been doing, and it hasn't worked. So I don't know exactly if you want to just keep, if you wanted to draft a cornerback that may hit, may not hit, and in the third round, if you were to use that third round pick to draft a cornerback that may or may not hit that you don't know about, I'd much rather get Rizzle Douglas in here, and if he if he makes plays, let's extend him. You know what I mean? So I'm a big believer in get the players you can get now, and then draft what you have when you have it.
Right, and again, his contract next year, it's like $8.25 million. It is non-guaranteed. So we can essentially let him go if we want to, or we can extend him, and then we spread that money out while he is a Buffalo Bill. So I don't see where, you know, the cap hits where, you know, what's being stated. So I think that it's a very safe pickup. And it's one of those, you know, bean specials that, you know, I think we all like in the end.
And to Roy's point, we are getting the comp pick this year. So
hold on real quick before we get out of here. So, cause it is, I don't want to go over too much. We got shows tonight. So I know our bro Poe and Sterling's going to go over this. I know you guys with the Mafia cast will go over this Thursday. And I know Sarah and Sterling are looking to get into this tomorrow as well. So I don't want to go too deep into it, but let's go around. Give me a grade on the trade for Brandon Bean here. And then we'll let you plug your shows and we'll get on out here. Let's start with Casey.
B plus.
Bro Poe.
I'm gonna go B minus just because I feel like they wanted the dude from Chicago, Johnson. So like that would have been like an A for me. But I'll go B minus with it.
Okay.
Yeah, Sarah, I think. I mean, obviously, you can't really grade it until you see it, you know, see how he fits and how he plays. But I think based on compensation and everything else, I would say it's around a B. Hopefully better once he gets out there. I think he's an upgrade, obviously, over, you know, Dane Jackson and Elam. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go with a B plus as well. I feel like we're all in the same space where it kind of sort of moves the needle, but it's like, okay, well, we'll see. One last thing here. Tony dropped in at the bottom here. I feel like we kind of talked about this separately, but how does everybody feel about Leonard Fournette? And let me just get a thumbs up, thumbs down. Let's start with Casey.
Down because Latavius is my boy.
Okay. I got
hometown you. Boy.
You got your feelings involved here. Bro,
yeah. Hey man.
I'm gonna go thumbs up because he's proven in the playoffs and I need that. So
yeah, I'm going thumbs up too. It's a practice squad signing for now. I know he's gonna come up probably the three times that he's allowed to before we even think about the 53-man roster. I'm okay with it. It's a depth move. We needed it. He's younger than Latavius. So I like it.
I'm with you. I think a lot of times we fans, and that's when I say we, I mean fans, I think a lot of times we'll listen to what the narratives are. And sometimes when people on social will say that someone's washed or old, we look at that and we agree with it. Touchdown Lenny ain't old. Playoff Lenny ain't old. So
he's 28 you know. Years old.
Yeah. So I'm with it. Like he said,
he coming in midseason.
He's proven in the playoffs. Yeah. Let's get it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for hanging with us for this special edition podcast tonight. Bro Poe, why don't you plug your show?
Tonight at 8 on the chop up, me and Sterling's about to get into this trade a little bit more and go the rest of the trades throughout the league, I think.
Okay. And then Sarah, when's your show? What time is your show?
Yeah. So tomorrow night, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Jerry's not going to be able to be with me tomorrow night, so I have my second favorite person to argue with, which is Sterling. He'll be joining me, so it'll still be the same arguments that go back and forth, I can assure you that. So 9 p.m. tomorrow
night. All right, and Casey, let us know about the Mafia cast.
Yeah, we're live every Thursday 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it's just three idiots talking football.
Y'all kill me. Okay. Well, y'all know for me, it's your boy, Jay Spencer King. We love y'all. I want y'all to love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.